Morning.
Ladies.
Okay, so good morning this time. This is the Sunday Rise presented by the Sideline Junkies. In conjunction with Clear Production Sports, we're in Clear Production Sports Garage. We're eating all the pig feet, all the hog maws, all right? The bottom of the screen, no Diddy, is the Midnight Rider. The only man that calls a Lyft and an Uber shows up. You got to figure that out. And to this side is the big guy, KG, the show's host. We went shopping for suits yesterday. He just kept saying, I just don't like the shoes. So we got to figure that out. Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all feeling?
Be good, man. Good. How you doing, man?
Good.
I'm good. I'm good. We got a lot to talk about. I always say this. If you were living under a rock the last five Sundays, we did an NFL draft countdown, reverse order. We, you know, made some mock picks and stuff. And Thursday night and Friday night, the real deal hit. And we got some things to go through. So without further ado, the big guy, KG, where are we going to start at?
Well, let's start with the NFL draft. And this draft was pretty loaded with talent. I'll give them that. A lot of guys that we watched growing up, we watching their son, you know, growing up and early adulthood, we're watching their sons being picked. Brendan Rice, Frank Gore Jr., Marvin Harrison Jr. Y'all getting old, brother.
Hot sauce on my burrito, baby.
I don't know.
Don't put y'all in.
I got a question for you, gentlemen.
All right.
As far as the NFL draft goes, what were your thoughts on, you know, just the process? And they said this the draft attendance record was broken in Detroit on Thursday night. Just the present, just Detroit. Overall the presentation.
No, it's not Detroit, it's Detroit. Okay.
Before we get to the picks, draft presentation, what did you gentlemen think about it, and how did you like it?
Well, I feel bad for the people that watch the substandard product on ESPN instead of the excellent product that the NFL Network puts out, where you get Charles Davis, Jeremiah, and Joe Klatt, three of the best in college sports, best on talking about college sports. But if you like inferior products, go ahead and stay over there at ESPN and watch the ESPN production. You can watch Mel Kiper, Father Time. I think it's Methuselah. I don't know who else is on this show, but yeah, enjoy.
You remember, I don't know if y'all are gamers or not, the people that's listening, but you remember Max Payne and him going through shooting, and he would take the pill to slow down, and you boom, boom. That's what the Midnight Rider just did to ESPN. Boom. Boom. It's just slow motion shoot. Unfortunately, I was at work, so I was not able to watch either presentation. I watched from the phone the NFL Network's draft tracker, which was absolutely horrible and behind. Absolutely frustrating. I think if my phone, I don't know what the iPhone 15 is made of, but I bent it a couple times trying to refresh and being frustrated, be like, the pick is in. I see Adam Schefter saying what the pick is in, but this thing still says the pick is in. What's the pick? Don't put something on there where it's supposed to be real time, and it's not real bleeping time.
Maybe if you had an Android, it would have worked better.
Nah, if I had an Android, we'd be looking at the 2004 NBA Finals.
The Android slander would not be tolerated this morning.
I'm just saying.
Lady C checking in. Good morning. Oh, good morning. Good morning.
that morning light, they say.
We got up to, what did we get up to? Did we get up to pick 9?
Yeah. Yeah, we went off at 9, which was, I think, the Bears, maybe?
Yeah. So, looking at this, pick 10. The pick that everybody talked about for 2 days was pick 8 and Michael Penix Jr. I don't understand the problem. I think it was a good pick. But anyway, Minnesota.
No. Don't you bounce off that pick like that. Don't you bounce off that pick like that. No, sir. No, sir. I'm trying to say this in a nice way.
Why?
Somebody in Atlanta needs to be fired.
For what? Midnight Rider, fresh
not
cut?
Not Michael Penix Jr. The fact that you just gave Kirk Cousins $1 billion off of Achilles injury. So that means when I'm looking from the outside in, they're going all in. They're trying to get the QB. Why not address a need? You have needs because we went through all the team's needs. They had needs. And quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons wasn't one of the needs. I don't get it. Why not, if somebody else wanted Michael Penix, why not trade back, get more picks, more capital, and get somebody that can help the team right now? This kid is, let's say Kirk Cousins plays solid. Let's just hypothetical. He plays solid for 3 years where there is no QB controversy. He's doing Kirk Cousins things, full 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns. There is no Michael Penix talk. What's that?
No, I mean, if Kirk Cousins is there and they're going to move forward, he's there for 2 years. It's a two-year deal or a two-year thing, and then they move on to Penix. The worst-case scenario is even if Penix has to play, and let's say your scenario works out where Kirk is lighting it up and Atlanta decides, all right, let's just hold on to Kirk for longer and keep paying this exorbitant price for our quarterback play, then they trade Penix to get whatever capital. Like, quarterback has so much value in this league. And then we saw the value by 6 quarterbacks going in the top, 12 picks?
And I get where you're coming from. But the moment Atlanta, for me, when Atlanta goes through this season, if they're bottom half of the league in any category, that was a category you could have used that number one pick to address. That means they're going in here and say, we're good at all our positions. We're good. We feel like we're good. Once we throw Kirk Cousins in there, we're good. And that is not the damn case by far. So, Falcon fans, I feel for you. They showed the picture of the war room with Arthur Blank, I guess, talking to the GM. Arthur Blank looked confused. Like, what the hell did we just do? Why are we draft a quarterback?
Arthur Blank had the face. You know when that girl in that Dave Chappelle skit with Wayne Brady, but she had like the $2 little, and Wayne Brady's like, is Wayne Brady gonna have to smack her? That's the look Arthur Blank had on his face. Like, he was like, what are we doing here? What's going on? I understand the theory. It's hard. You know what's weird is sometimes we talk about setting yourself up for success going forward, but we don't always think of how we get there. We don't understand the steps. And I think the Atlanta took the steps in a process that they took a road that's least taken. They took the path that most teams won't take to try to stay good. They knew they were at 9. They hope they'll never be at 9 again because they have Kirk Cousins the next 2 years, and then they can kick Kirk to the side and ride off with Penix. The problem I have is everybody keeps talking about his age. Dog, we don't hit quarterbacks the same no more. You can't sack a quarterback and, like, land on them. You got to lay him down. You got to put a pillow down, put the comforter, make sure there's a duvet cover before you sack the quarterback without it being a personal foul. So these quarterbacks can play until they're 40. So, like, let's stop being lazy in our analysis. And age of a quarterback doesn't matter. We drafted Chris Winkie years ago, and he was 28. So you can't tell me a quarterback's age matters.
They just need it's to a point now where if you can get solid top 15 production,
yeah,
he could be 42.
Exactly.
If you can get top 15 out of production out of a quarterback, your team had, if you got the right setup, defense, and everything else, your team got a chance. Your team has a chance. That's all I'm saying. So I agree with the Midnight Ride on it. Big guy, you quiet, man. Are you looking at shoes again?
I'm always looking at shoes, but no, I'm sitting here. I'm just I gotta disagree with you fellas, because here's the thing: you got a quarterback coming off of Achilles injury. There is no guarantee once you get to camp, he's gonna be able to ball.
Then why sign him?
Because Atlanta's dumb. I wouldn't have gave Kirk $100 million.
You don't give good contracts out at all anyway. You just signed Kirk for $20 million a year, and the rest of it have been incentive-laden, and Kirk would have been like, oh, yes, KG, I'm going to take this bad, sorry-ass deal that you offered me and sign it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, when I'm negotiating, it's either get down or lay down. And if you lay down, you're going to stay down. The fuck? You're going to – look, I ain't saying my contract's worse than what Master P did to Ricky Williams, but damn, at least I'm trying to put a little money in your pocket. Shit. Come on, man. We sit here and we talk. Everybody badmouths this pick, but you talk about – building for the future. I think this is a futures pick, because you don't know the health of Kirk Cousins. You don't know what his health is going to be. Now, what if he goes into the season and he's not ready until week 7? You're going to have to start Penix.
You start Penix, Kirk is never playing again.
I'm sure he will.
Not Atlanta.
This problem is, I don't know if it's Washington Wizards franchise bad, but this like, you can't make this shit up. you can't make this up. You really can't. Like, this is, it's just baffling.
Okay, think about it like this, and then I'll leave it alone. You got a young quarterback. You got probably one of the most savviest veterans the league has seen in a long time. And Kirk is a teacher. He's a good guy, period. You take that good guy and you put him with this young cat. Same thing you did with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. You bring him in and you let him sit for a little bit and let him learn. Then when it's time for Kirk to ride off into the sunset, you got a ready-made quarterback, because he sat behind a consummate pro who took him under his wing and taught him and said, hey, this is how you do this.
How you know he's gonna take him under his wing?
Because that's what Kirk does. That's the type of person Kirk is. Kirk's not your man's out in that was out in Tennessee that didn't want to mentor Malik Willis, but was jumping to mentor Will Levis. You know, and I think that was something on a whole nother level. But I'm not gonna say nothing about that, because I can't speculate.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't speculate. I don't know for sure.
Now, besides the Atlanta Falcons, for y'all, who y'all think knocked the Grand Slam for the draft?
The Grand Slam is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes, I give you that.
You get Cooper DeJean in the second round. You get Quinyon Mitchell in the first at 22 when he was projected to go 15. So you got your starting corners or possible corner and nickel, way beyond where they were expected to go. Then you look around, and then what round was it? Let me look at my notes here. I think it was either the fourth or the fifth round. You get a money linebacker like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. from Clemson, who fell down boards for whatever reason. I think them and the Ravens have a way of just sitting on the board, waiting it out, and like somehow, some way, the player they need or a player that fits them perfectly just lands in their lap, and they don't do anything. They don't go out their way. They don't trade up. They just sit there.
Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was fifth round, 155.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I got the Eagles at one, Ravens at two. And then it's everybody else.
Where do you put the Commanders in there? Because I'm a Commander fan. I would love to know where you put us.
I gave their draft. Well, I mean, I can't be unbiased and grade this draft because there's a lot of guys that I like that we took. I mean, of course, Jaden Daniels that won. Then you come back in a second, and you move back to 50 and 53 with a trade with Philly, and you get Stinnett, and then you get what's the other kid they got? Oh, my boy from Michigan, Sam Strill. You got those two guys. Then you get Coleman, who's kind of a project. But the guy that I like the most out of this, and I think I made a comment on our show when we were talking about the combine, was Luke McCaffrey. I think Luke McCaffrey's going to shock a lot of people. They can put him in a slot. They can put him outside. I prefer him in a slot. And you just let him create and work. He's a quarterback turned wide receiver. And the best part of that is when you're a quarterback, you see the defense in a certain way. So he can help Jaden Daniels by sitting in little windows in the defense that he sees, almost a Kelsey-like type of thing for him. And the reason I like Stinnett, because you don't have to go out and go get a fullback. You can put Stinnett at fullback or H-back, and he's gonna create havoc. And then the young kid from Washington, the safety, I think his last name is Hamilton. I like him. He's a tackler. He kind of fits this defense profile. And that's the other thing. Let's start there. The Commanders drafted types. Like, when I watched this draft, when I watched and I listened to the guys afterwards, they said the same things, so they fit the type. We have a mold now. We have a definition of what being a Commander is. I heard a lot of guys talking about they like to get to the point of contact violently. They like to be violent in their approach. The draftees said it, so you know the coaches have said it to them. If you saw the new thing in Commanders Park, they got Daryl Green hitting somebody from the Rams, and it says underneath it, "We arrive violently." We're starting to have a type. And that's the most beautiful thing for me, because you know I've talked about this. Every time we've done a show, anytime we've talked draft, anytime we've talked players, is we got to have a type. And right now, by God, we got a type.
I want to say this. And this is, first, let me address having a type. I love the way this draft came out, especially looking at the undrafted free agents. You know, good old Sam Hartman. You know I like that. We got a couple of Irish boys in there. Get out of that. We didn't pick anybody from Alabama. We didn't pick anybody from Alabama.
I'm so happy we didn't pick anybody from Alabama.
Okay. The staff picked such a great draft, and I think everybody's going to have their way and fit in to the fan base. The ugly things that were said about Jaden Daniels' mom, y'all got to get a life, man. I wish we could start excommunicating people out of the daggone fan base for certain things that they say. It's just, it's bad. I mean, granted, you can have an opinion, but damn, some of y'all cats was rough, man. And it's crazy. But I heard somebody say, I think it was in the group. I can't think of the gentleman, James King. He said Allen gonna be traded for an offensive tackle. And I was like, I said, you know, it's kind of crazy. I don't think you would trade Allen for a tackle. I think you would kind of take, and some people say we're gonna run the 3-4 again this year. So you're gonna have Allen and Payne on the ends, and let me get this right.
Just call him Johnny.
Huh?
Just call him Johnny.
Yeah, Newton, the guy out of Illinois that we got in the second round. Newton.
Johnny Newton.
He's going to play in the middle, and then you're going to build linebackers around him. Luke McCaffrey picking him, I think that was a good pick because you have Terry on one side, Jahan Dotson on one side. We needed a slot guy because Dax Mill ain't it. Curtis Samuel never panned out, and he's in Buffalo now. You need that guy. I think that's where he's going to solidify himself at right there. And being a former NFL player's son, as well as somebody that's been at a lot of football clinics and has, you know, knows a lot about the game, I think he's going to be really, 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 really damn good. Our final pick in the seventh round, Javonte Jean-Baptiste out of Notre Dame. Animal. I think that's one of your steals of the draft.
Because he's from Notre Dame.
I watched the cat. So, BJ, how did you feel about Buffalo's draft haul?
Let me tell you this. I found out that Brandon Bean rides in three Cadillac Escalades, EXTs, extended versions. The ones on the right side and the left side had upgraded suspension because the right side holds the right ball and the left side holds the left ball. And Brandon Bean got balls of steel. You trade in the first round with a team you cannot beat, so they can get the receiver they want. You trade back, and then you trade out of the first round to the second round. First day of the second round, you trade out with Carolina to still get the receiver that you want. I want to see how that works out. I feel like whatever receiver came here, it's no pressure to be that guy. Let's say moved up and got one of like the top three guys. It's no pressure to be that guy because you have a couple guys here already that you expect production out of, which is Shakir, Curtis Samuel, which you just mentioned, Kincaid and Knox. You already have James Cook. You already have guys that, so it lessens the burden. You could come in here and not have to have the pressure on your back of being that guy. I think that'll help you turn into that guy. You know, you'll be able to develop. So I like the pick. I like the Cole Bishop pick. That's one thing we talked about when we talked about Buffalo is them needing a playmaker in the secondary, somebody that can get to the ball, somebody that can cover, somebody that maybe can take a piece of the field away, a guy that you just need to know where he's at. So I like the Cole Bishop pick. I think they had a solid draft. They addressed some needs. This is a team that doesn't have a lot of cap space. So you have to go get guys to help fill your roster. I mean, you should be doing that in the draft anyway. But when you have cap space and you can go get a couple free agents here and there, it, you know, helps a little bit. So I'm looking at some things and I'm like, you know, some of these guys, depending on how they come in and play in the camp, they might have a spot on the team. Because Buffalo is, you know, I say it all the time, defensively, we've seen injuries, you know, the last couple of years. So, you know, I think that kind of like molded some of the draft. And, of course, you know, Micah Hyde and Poyer leaving, you have to go get a safety. I told you guys, I didn't really necessarily, I would have been okay with a safety with the first pick. I don't necessarily think we need a receiver. I know all the NFL world thinks that. I don't really think that. So I'll give their draft a B minus. I'm gonna give that draft a B minus. I like their draft. I like being moving around, and I'm ready to see these guys roll. What's up, Midnight Rider?
No, I was gonna tell you, you gotta bump that grade up at least a half a grade, because there wasn't a safety worth being taken before probably pick 50 in this draft. So your team didn't miss out on anything. You know, and I think that's part of the reason why you stepped back twice is because you looked at your board. I think you had three wide receivers in place. Mm-hmm. And I think Worthy wasn't anybody that you were worried about. So you moved back with Kansas City there, got some capital, and then you moved back one pick with Carolina, get some more capital. And I think it allowed you to kind of fill some other needs on your team. Yeah, so absolutely. I would give you guys a solid B. Or almost I could say a B or a B plus, because you kind of worked the draft to get some depth, and then you also was able to get something you needed. And I like Keon Coleman. I think he's a top guy. I think when we talk draft spots, I may have had him in the first round of y'all at 26, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, he may be in the conversation of guys that we talked about.
Right. Yeah, I believe so. And you know, like I said, you know, I keep saying we're getting with the injuries we had on defense and guys that's coming back, like you're getting, you know, you're getting a new whole new squad back. You're getting Matt Milano back. You're getting Von Miller back, you know. So, you know, you Terrell Bernard, you're getting guys back that, you know, made major impacts on this defense. And then you add to the receiver room. And then, like I said, I think, you know, and, you know, I won't bash Stephon Diggs because he was important in helping 17 grow, which is Josh Allen. But right. I believe Josh Allen is a guy now that can make receivers better. He's one of those guys. And time will tell. I just don't want, just like I said about the Falcons, I just don't want that pick to come back to haunt the Buffalo Bills, the Xavier Worthy, just like the Patrick Mahomes draft day deal has come back to haunt Buffalo as far as, you know, him beating us over and over again. So, you know, like I said, you know, we'll see, because Keon Coleman and Bishop will be on the field day one. They'll be right on the field day one. So we get to see them. We'll get to see what type of impact. And they're going to have their hands full because, you know, you got Sauce Gardner and you got Jalen Ramsey down in Miami. You know, you got guys that can guard that you're going to have to go up against. You got, you know, I know New England is probably the bottom of the division, but they still are really good defense. So, you know, you're going to get to see Cole Bishop because he got some people to guard, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see. I hope these guys can come in because the expectation for the Bills are still here. For me, they're still here. So
I would tell you that you probably would be more like the two guys I think you should keep an eye on is Ray Davis, the kid you took in the fourth round, the running back from Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he was anywhere else in the country with a better team around him, he would have probably gone higher. And Cedric Van Pran Granger, the center from Georgia, I think he was a three-year starter. He's just going to be one of those guys that ends up on your team. And in 4 years, he'll probably be playing center or guard, and you won't even pay no attention to it. Like, he's not going to be somebody that's going to stand out to you, but he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be there as long as his health and his knees are good.
Mm-hmm. Midnight Rider, you talked about fits. That's always been your thing.
Always, baby.
Draft fits. And I don't think we're talking about clothes, are we?
I mean, we can start if we want to talk clothes, because Malik Nabers, if you saw the inside of Malik Nabers' jacket, he did have his highlights on his jacket, if we want to talk that version of Fitz. But no, what I'm talking about is just there's some players later in the draft that went to teams that I think just like shape and mold. And again, we talk about identity. We talk about Fitz on this show because I'm a firm believer in that. And I don't want to talk first round, but there is one first round fit that I want to mention because I don't think I mentioned it the night we were doing the show. But that's Ricky Pearsall to the San Francisco 49ers. Pearsall is an elite route runner. Him with Kyle Shanahan, as you know, on this show, I'm a big believer of the Kyle Shanahan offense and the disciples of the Kyle Shanahan offense. And I think this is a perfect fit. That's number one. We got a couple more. Let's start in Indianapolis. Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver from Texas, goes to Indianapolis. You put him, you got Pittman, and you still have Pierce. They're gonna have a very well. They have a very fast receiving core. That's gonna cause some issues. Another guy I think is a sleeper is Cade Stover, the tight end from Ohio State. He went to the Houston Texans. You got him on one side. Gosh, the guy's name just slipped out of my head. The guy from Dallas that went to the Texans last year and played tight end.
Schultz.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz. You got him and Schultz now as your two tight ends. So if you come out in two tight ends, you got two guys that can catch the football. The biggest one, or one of my better fits, is Sione Vaki, safety from Utah. He went to Detroit. He's a do-it-all type of guy. He actually played some offense last year at Utah. He played some running back. But he's going to play safety for Detroit. But he's a guy that, and I'm going to steal this from Joe Witt, he likes to arrive violently. And this guy does that with no accord for your health or your safety. So he's the guy that I think fits well in Detroit. Another situation where I think the 49ers got the rich get richer. Isaac Guerrero, running back Louisville. They got him like in the fifth round. Every time I watch the kid play, he's physical. He fits a one-cut system outside zone. So I think that's a perfect fit. We already talked about Jeremiah Trotter going to the Eagles. I'm going to skip this because I'm going to come back to this. But Fisk, I think it's Brandon Fisk, the D-tackle from FSU, going to the Rams. You get a guy that kind of looks like Aaron Donald to replace Aaron Donald. Now, I'm not going to say this kid is going to beat Aaron Donald, but this kid fits that same mold. He's a little bit lighter, so he's about 285, 290, playing D-tackle. But his first step is fast. He ran like a 4.7 in the 40 at the combine. So he's another guy you got to watch out. It wouldn't be my list if I didn't have Jonathan Brooks on it, running back Texas. He got drafted by Carolina. I got three more, and then I'm done. Trey Benson, running back, Florida State, went to the Cardinals. I said they needed a running back. I thought they would have gone with a thumper, but they weren't a fast guy. So you got him and Kyler Murray in the backfield. That's playmaker heaven. Will Shipley, running back, Clemson. He went to the Philadelphia Eagles. Enough said there. And then the last one I have is, well, actually I got two more. One is Spencer Rattler, QB, South Carolina. He went to the Saints. I think he's going to play this year because Derek Carr stinks. And then the last person I want to bring up, and I don't know if we have a banner for it, but it's the best story of this year's draft. It's a kid named Quantez Stiggers. He went to the Jets. And I was telling the boss man this story before we started the draft. So this young man graduated, I guess, 2020. He was going to go to Lane College at as a D2 school for football. COVID happened. And they didn't have a football season. In the midst of that, his dad passed away. The kid went into a severe depression, so much so that he didn't want to play ball. He didn't want to do much of anything. His mom came across the fan. I forgot the whole name of it, but it's the Fan Football League. Fan-controlled football league. That's what it is. So she signed him up with that without him knowing. He went, produced, had 5 interceptions in like 12 games. Ended up, his tape ended up on the desk of the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL. So they brought him in. Last year in Toronto, he won the CFL Player of the Year and ended up deciding to put his name in for the draft. Well, last night or Saturday, he got his name called by the New York Jets. So Quantez Stiggers is a New York Jet via his path. And there's some great videos on him. I would recommend if you go to YouTube. I knew about him, but I also got to give a shout out to our guy, Jack Carr, because he was another person last night we were talking. And he brought it back to the forefront for me because I knew the kid's story. But Jack brought it up yesterday on our show when we did our Arlen Sports take. And so, yeah, great kid, great story. I just hope nothing for but the best for him. This might be one of those people that we talk about in 10 years, like, you know, the path that nobody takes, you know. And this kid took it and got here. So that's what I got from the draft, man. I'm sorry if I went long on this, but you know me. When it comes to the draft, this is my baby. And I don't do it as much as I used to, but yeah.
Here's something that I think you left out. And we always talk about giving flowers while you can smell them.
Okay.
You said something Thursday night, and you and I sat there and we had a conversation, and we were talking in the comment with everybody in the comments, and we were talking about Bo Nix being a Drew Brees type. And Bo Nix, and you said this 3 picks before we got off air, because we went off air at 9, at pick 9. You said this 3 to 4 picks before Bo Nix was picked. You said Sean Payton would love a Bo Nix because he's Drew Brees. He throws the ball on time. He gets it out quick. I said the only difference is he's not 5'8", 5'9", so he's a bigger Drew Brees. You said yes. Sean Payton would love to have him in Denver because that quarterback room is slack.
Mm-hmm.
As we're getting off the air, what happens? Bo Nix is picked by the Denver Broncos. The simple fact that you saw the insight in that and you were able to say, hey, this is a type. This is what having a type does to you because everybody going to know who you're going to pick. The comparable player to Bo Nix was Drew Brees. If I'm not mistaken, I can't remember everybody's name in the comments that was commenting because it was so long ago and I'm old. But in the comments that we were talking about, the comparable player to Bo Nix is Drew Brees. And you said it. We talked about it. We agreed upon it. And it happened. It happened. I will say this. You're a bad motherfucker. I'm going to tell you that. Because you pulled that before it happened and you explained it. You broke it down. And I don't know if Sean Payton was listening to you. Did he call you before that and you talked to him? Because
dude, we do this. I try to tell people, like, when you watch college football, the key is, and this is why I harp on having a type, because I should be able to look, and there's another guy, and I'm going to say, and I forgot him, but the center from West Virginia, I think his name is Blake Fisher. No, Blake Fisher, the kid from Notre Dame. It might be Zach Fisher or something like that. It's a center. BJ, look that up real quick. It's a center that went to Pittsburgh in like the 4th or 5th round from West Virginia. But that kid getting taken by Pittsburgh is another situation where we talk about types. I think he's a 4-year starter or a 3-year starter. But for Pittsburgh, it fits because he falls in line with the Pouncey's. I'm not going to say Damani Dawson because that's a Hall of Famer. But he fits as a certain type of guy that Pittsburgh liked. And I think Pittsburgh actually drafted 2 tackles in the center in this year's draft, if memory serves me correctly.
Zach Frazier, West Virginia.
There you go. Learn that name. He's going to at least 3 Pro Bowls. At least 3 Pro Bowls. But, I mean, like I always say, if we watch this game enough, we know teams and we start understanding their makeup. And this kid just fits Pittsburgh's makeup. He grew up, I don't know if he grew up in the area, but he played at West Virginia. He's not quite a Yinzer, as they call the Pittsburgh people, but he's going to be another guy that just makes, when y'all watch him this year, he might have a 50 number just because that's what their centers do. And you're going to be like, man, I read about, talked about him.
Well, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, two numbers he can't wear.
52.
And?
63.
There you go. 52 for Mike Webster, 63 for, that was Elsie Greenwood first, but then Damani Dawson. So.
Right.
With those two, but those are legendary numbers. If they bestow him with 52, that's a lot to carry around there. That's one of the greatest centers ever with Mike Webster, but no history lesson today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot my other fit. And this is a first round fit. And we may have talked about it on the show, but I can't remember if Minnesota got on the clock on this. But JJ McCarthy to Kevin O'Connell. If you could ever have Kirk Cousins and replace Kirk Cousins with Kirk Cousins without it being Kirk Cousins and paying a lot less for Kirk Cousins, it's JJ McCarthy. And I said it before, his floor is 7 wins, his ceiling is 10 or 11, but it's got to be 72 and sunny for him to get to 11.
See, I was going to say something to you. I was going to say, if you said Kirk Cousins one more time in that rant, we was giving out $1,000 to the first person to comment, but you didn't say it, so we can't give out $1,000.
All right, cool.
All right.
I'm going to go on record saying this before we move on. I just don't believe in the J.J. McCarthy thing. I think he got talked up, and I think that he shouldn't have went in the first round. I'll go on record of saying that. I hope he proves me wrong, but we see the percentages of, I think I sent it to y'all, the percentage of each position, what works out as far as going in the NFL. And I think he's going to be in that ladder, just not working out. I'll see it.
But so here's what he does. And I think I talked about it with you guys on Thursday, or maybe it was Tuesday, but my guy, there's certain guys when they talk quarterbacks, I always listen. I'm like, yeah, but. And Mark Schlereth, former guard for the Washington Commanders and Denver Broncos, talked about JJ McCarthy. And whenever he talks about certain guys, I listen. And when he starts talking about the fact that the kid is cool, he understands the concepts of formations, dealing with, like, you got to think about it. This guy's had Jim Harbaugh for the last 3 years, a pro football coach in his ear the whole 3 years he's been in school. So he's got concepts. He's got formations. He's not a guy that when the play shows up, he stands up and looks and they put up the cards. He's not one of those guys. He's a guy that makes his own checks. So he does the things that natural QBs do. He also ran heavy play action, and he played under center. So we always talk about the one thing I talked about last year a lot with C.J. Stroud, being an under center quarterback, your feet get married up with the pass game. You know when to throw on time. And that's something guys like Daniels may and Caleb may have to learn, and they may struggle with early. But you're not going to have that time period where he has to learn or figure that out. That's something that's natural to him. And that's the only reason I think McCarthy can succeed, because it's that, and then we got KOC, Kevin O'Connell. I think Kevin O'Connell is one of the most underrated coaches in this league. He's going to be one of those coaches that guys are going to want to play for. He's going to put you in the best position. And I think we see that, or we're seeing that now.
Matty Ice chiming in. He says, sorry, guys, a bit late. Had to mow the lawn first. No, I remember those struggles. I remember those struggles.
As long as Matty Ice ain't that guy on the block doing it at 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. You know what I'm saying? One more draft thing before we move on. I just have to address this. The needs for the Atlanta Falcons were cornerback, edge, defensive tackle, linebacker, and offensive tackle. They did not address the offensive tackle or cornerback needs. And it just blows my mind. Just blows my mind. That's all I
have. Now, to your J.J. McCarthy thing, the 2 years that he had as a starter, he started 28 out of 40 games in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's 27-1 as a starter.
He's also a high school state champion. I think he won state championships 2 years as well.
Very he's a winner. Accurate, yes, very accurate passer. He got a college career average of 67.6 completion percentage. He didn't chuck the rock around a lot last year. He only had 240 completions with 332 attempts. 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So, but I said it too, and I gotta agree with you, BJ. I didn't think he was a first round pick. I said he's AJ McCarron. That was my comparable to him. I think he's AJ, and I think AJ McCarron is talented. I think AJ McCarron was really good coming out of Alabama. It's just that I knew he was never gonna get a shot because he's an Alabama quarterback. It's like giving a USC quarterback a shot. You know, it's a big risk.
All right. I'm gonna help you out with this. There's Halle Berry. There's Jennifer Lopez. There's what's the girl from Hitch?
You talking about Eva Mendez?
Yeah, there's those types of ladies, right? And then there's, if you remember the girl from Half Baked, right?
Rachel True.
There you go. That's J.J. McCarthy. It's not elite. See, there's differences. There's levels to this shit. There's the elite chicks. There's the real nice and good looking chicks. You know what I'm saying? And then, yeah.
The simple fact is you just said Rachel True wasn't an elite. Have you ever seen The Craft?
I dated a girl that looked just like her.
And you talk about she ain't elite?
Dog, nobody in this room outside of me and you are putting her in that status. She's not Halle Berry.
Let me tell you, with what we know about Halle Berry ain't elite. You named Halle Berry, Eva Mendez,
J-Lo.
I can't say nothing about Eva Mendez just yet because, you know, I like her. We know J-Lo crazy. She's still thinking she Jenny from the block and trying to order from the bodega and getting her order wrong. Bruh.
You are really
none of them are Debbie Mazar. That's all I got to say. None of those three are Debbie Mazar. That okay. List for them eyes.
I didn't even bring up Debbie Mazar. Huh? Like, never mind.
What are we doing here?
You took my nice comparison and killed it.
Yeah, because you named.
Oh, God.
I got to talk about that off air because I got a few choice words for you for that.
I just said people that I know in Hollywood that people put it here on the pedestal. I'm not talking about me, you, and guys that like regular chicks. But if you go on the Hollywood standard, she is not elite. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll give you that. All right. And I never said that.
We done gone so far off the beaten path. Nobody knows about the fact that I compared her to J.J. McCarthy. And
yeah. Oh, Maddie Ice said that's a big hell no about a mowing his lawn at 5 a.m. You've been talking real reckless for the last 2 days, man. you've been talking real reckless, and you say stuff. You say I say stuff to you to get you riled up, but you say stuff to me. You've been saying stuff to me for 2 days.
KG, I apologize.
No, I ain't no apology. Man. I kind of like you.
That's okay. It's okay. It hurts me when I hurt you.
Oh my God. Maddie Ice said, so are we saying J.J. McCarthy is J-Lo? I'm so confused. No, saying J.J. No. McCarthy is Rachel True from Half-Baked, The Craft. What was the show she had with Essence Atkins?
It was like, they were like, half.
So he's saying that she's heard because he's not mainstream and most people don't know him. He's an acquired taste.
See, now you're getting the comparison.
I got the comparison first, but you just like I said. Let's go NBA. Paradigm shift. Changing of the guard.
That's a great title. If you ever put title segments, that's a great title.
I wonder who came up with that.
Who? Go ahead, so, Katie. I interrupt you.
No, that's okay. You got the Lakers came. They stave off elimination for one more game. We're going back to Denver for that.
Lakers in six.
Lakers can't win in six. Lakers may lose in six, but they can't win in six.
Lakers in six.
So Lakers going back to Denver. Joel Embiid throwing the temper tantrum and playing football out on a basketball court. Like, where's Kevin Durant's mom to yell at him? Like, come on. Old boy needs to be yelled at bad. And she's the mama for it. She's like one of the great NBA moms. Uh-oh. So she needs to get a hold of that. I mean, her son ain't playing, but she need to get it. She need to have him give him a good talking to. Because I don't know what the hell he doing.
What do you mean you don't know what he's doing? What do you mean?
You didn't see what he did?
What did he do? What did he do?
You've been at work. Okay. Yeah. Oh man, I can't think of the player's name. He went to Joel Embiid.
Dante DiVincenzo.
He tried to spear him. The cat, one of the forwards, he under the basket, laying the ball, and he grabs his legs as he's going up to stop him from laying the ball up. This dude has an over-under of falling on the floor of 25.
Who are we talking about?
Joel Embiid.
Oh, Embiid. Okay, yeah.
This cat, he's just doing a bunch of dirty stuff, man. It's like you're ruining the integrity of the game. And it's already thin as is, but damn it, you're ruining the integrity of the game.
Before we go forward, we got to get to this comment because Matty Ice is confused. So are we saying J.J. McCartney is J-Lo? I'm so confused. I am too. I let them go, and I still got lost.
All right, so I'm saying that J.J. McCarthy is the chick from Half-Baked. Like, it's just a regular chick. It doesn't stand out in your eyes, stand out for you. It's not going to, like, make you leave your wife. She's a solid chick. You're going to be like, oh, she's cute, but you're not mortgaging the farm for her. That's what J.J. McCarthy is. He'll probably be in the top 15, top 17 quarterbacks of the league, even as a rookie. But it's not going to be nothing special, nothing elite. He's never going to be in the top five.
It doesn't hurt that right now he has Justin Jefferson either.
Hey, that makes it even better. And everybody talks about Justin Jefferson, but nobody talks about TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, that too. Back to the NBA, because we're at 53. I'm gonna let Midnight Rider take over like he did before the draft and talk about this paradigm shift in the NBA.
No, I mean, it's not even really much to talk about. We got guys that, you know, were the standard. You know, we're talking about KD, we're talking about LeBron, we're talking about Anthony Davis, we're talking about
Paul George, Kawhi Leonard,
and all these guys are right now on the verge of fighting for their lives in the playoffs. And what has rudely happened is these young guys have come in, sat down at the table, and made a place for themselves. I honestly, if you asked me before the playoffs started, I was like, Anthony Edwards is a guy. For me, Anthony Edwards is that dog now. I've watched three games of him in the playoffs. He had a bad game in game two, but Jaden McDaniel came in and shined for the team and covered up for him. But Anthony Edwards goes at KD like he stole something from him. And he's trying to get every receipt. He is really playing Like the guy was, I think his name was Kermit in The Hustle. And the whole time he talked trash to the main guy of the show. I forgot his name, but of the movie. But that's who he is right now. He coming and taking names, taking prisoners. I love it. My other guy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think I couldn't pronounce his name or couldn't say his name right because I said it all in the wrong order a year ago or 2 years ago. But Shai Gilgeous is that guy, man. He is fully prepared to take over the league and put the league on his shoulders like it's a backpack. He ready to go. Well, I don't know if they wear backpacks. It might be a fanny pack or one of them purses or whatever. I mean, I'm not.
It's a merch. Yeah, it's a Louis Vuitton merch.
It wouldn't be. Yeah, he want to carry the league in a merch because they probably
do that. I think the boss BJ, he likes to carry the show in his Ferragamo merch.
Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody.
You're not supposed to tell nobody. I mean, the league is the young guys are taking them. Even Halliburton to a certain extent is showing his wares. We're just in a point where I think, and we've all seen this because we're in our plus 40s, and we've seen the league change hands and different people take over the league. So I guess KG's 38 in his mind.
No, I'm 15 in my mind. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Okay.
Them knees don't say so, baby.
Right, exactly.
Matter of fact, stand up right now. Stand up quick right now.
Nah, that shit gonna sound like pop.
Look, my body.
Here's the thing I love about Edwards and Alexander. They have something that some of the players that we named that they're taking the league away from them. Yeah, those players are getting old, but it's the way, because the KDs and those guys, they didn't take the league away from Kobe. Kobe left, and they just were there, and they just kind of were LeBron's friends. It was LeBron and friends. That's what it was. You see Ant Edwards, and they're like sharks. They see the blood in the water, and they're swimming over there, and they want all. They don't care what other sharks, what other group of sharks are over there. They're coming over there to eat. And I love to see that because I don't feel like guys like Paul George and Kevin Durant, they don't have that. You know, they just have that talent where, you know, they've been very good in the league for a long time. They just don't have that dog. I think Paul George may have had it for like a split second and it slipped out his hand and, you know, the china hit the floor and the plate broke. But none of those guys just that dog. They just didn't have it. You see that coming out of these young guys. And I love it, man. I love it. And it might pull me back to actually sitting down and watching. I mean, I love watching the highlights of Anthony Edwards is my guy. Anthony, I'm about to buy his shoes. I love him. I love the way he play. I love his attitude, the whole nine, y'all, because we've been missing it.
This is just me being me. My guy is SGA.
Okay.
My second guy, though, being who I am, and if you know me, you'll understand this, but I love me Josh Hart. Josh Hart is my guy. We talking about a guard that gets you 10 to 12 rebounds a night, does all the little things. I would lose my job tomorrow to sign Josh Hart to whatever team I'm coaching or running, because that's a glue guy. Like, and I think that's why New York works, is because he's a glue guy. And then you add DiVincenzo and Brunson and company, the Nova boys, and then they're just making it work. They're making it happen. I want to see them against Boston. Like, I don't want to get cheated. I hope that plays out.
I think that'd be I'm saying this in a good way. I think that'd be a nasty series. That's not going to be, I don't think that's going to be that it's going to be I think it'd be a back and forth. And I told you, I don't believe in Boston. I think Boston's going to it's either going to be another finals trip up or somebody in the East is going to clip them. So I would love to see that. Boston and New York going at it.
I mean, yo, NBC would love that, or ESPN or ABC, whoever has the coverage. I forget who has it. I say NBC because I'm old. It's ABC and ESPN. I guess I'm expecting Ahmad Rashad to be on like the pregame.
Showing your age, gentlemen. You're showing your age.
My main man. You talk about who you don't believe in. I don't believe in, and this is not even, I didn't believe in them in the beginning of the season. I don't believe in the Phoenix Suns. How do you go from a finals participant to absolute garbage truck juice? You're about to get swept out of the first round by a young upstart that has passed you.
Who believed in the Phoenix Suns beginning
the
season?
A lot of people were saying, I
know who didn't.
They got KD.
I know two guys that definitely didn't. I'm going to do this. Look, if y'all can see this, is that Meatloaf?
Yeah.
Meatloaf!
Hi.
Now, hold on. She watched the Thunder. Who did Thunder play? The Thunder Pelicans game yesterday with me. Now, Meatloaf.
Huh?
You saw that game, the Thunder Pelicans game, right?
Yes.
Okay. You didn't like the way that the Pelicans played. They played with no heart, right?
Yes.
See, that's what I'm saying. They played with no heart.
If the kid can see it, then it's terrible.
Meatloaf.
She had a real problem. She had a real problem with Josh Giddey. She said, you know, how you ban that boy for gambling in Toronto, but you know,
boy,
you
here do we go. Get off of this. Get off of that. Abandon the ship on that. Abandon the ship.
We sing ooh when I finish, okay?
Yes. Matty Ice checking and Marv Albert from way downtown. Yes.
Oh,
can hear it.
Here's the thing. I still use Marv Albertisms in my daily life. Something works
out. I know you do.
And it counts. It's nothing like it in the world.
Jack Party, other names that we got to dig
what?
Up.
I'm not with you today. I'm not. Because BJ already know what I'm going to say. No, we're not. We're not talking about Marv Albertisms. No.
Well, it's him, Bob Costas, man. You know. Anyway, back to the Suns.
Hey, G, try and give me five.
Back to the Suns.
No, they're Pat Summerall?
The Minnesota Timberwolves. And you got this quote-unquote big three out there. And a question was asked, I want to say it was the other day, does this taint Kevin Durant's legacy more? Because everybody gives him a ration of you know what about the move from OKC to Golden State. Okay. He won two rings in Golden State, then he bolted and went to Brooklyn. He never really panned out in Brooklyn. He left Brooklyn. He goes to Phoenix. And they don't do anything in Phoenix.
Come on,
Asha. Meatloaf. He doesn't do anything in Phoenix. And now you got him, Booker, and Beal. And this is like, this is not even a second-rate big three. This is like a discount bottom shelf big three. If you went in the liquor store and you had to compare them to a liquor, you got Odessa at the bottom. They're under Odessa. That's how bad this big three is.
So that means that they're the shit spilt on the floor. The liquor, the bottles that break dry up on the floor.
No, they are Taka. The drunk, the alcoholic old man special. They get a half pint of taco for $2 and go home for the rest of the night because they good. Because they know that taco's gonna get them messed up.
Are they a cup of cowboy Kool-Aid? Did y'all see that video I sent?
You sent that video. I saw that. I was so disgusted.
Did you see the cowboy Kool-Aid, KG?
No, where you sent that at?
TikTok.
It's on TikTok. It's
let me tell you something.
It's Everclear, orange juice, was that Country Time Lemonade?
Lemonade, the whole thing. And then
it's like 20 beers of Busch Light.
No, no, Busch Light is camel piss. No, oh Lord, no.
Cowboy Kool-Aid.
No, I'm good.
You sure?
We can't have that to ourselves because I know in college I used to do a bottle of Everclear. I do a fifth of vodka.
You're making my stomach hurt.
I'd put, I think we had different fruit juices, like the Hawaiian Punch fruit juice and something else. And it was called, it was Jungle Juice. It was the, you put that, trust me, that has made many people, you know, go home, throw up, tell God they'll never drink again, and actually do that, like actually follow through and never drink again. I know a couple of people that have had my jungle juice and they never drank again afterwards. It's not something I'm proud of, but I stand by my product. It's like it's a brand.
This gonna this drink right here gonna change your life.
It's Blue Magic, baby. Stand by it.
You done took you that you done drunk that and you done ate the red and the green pill.
Let me ask you gentlemen a question. If you had to look across these playoffs, what's the best series that you have going on right now?
The Minnesota Phoenix series. Just to see those hopes and dreams crush, to see a legacy further get shitted on, to prove a player shouldn't be a starter in this league, should be coming off the bench. No player that was here in Washington. I love seeing stuff crushed. That's me. I'm the crusher. And I love seeing points proven and everything we've been saying about. Now I'll leave Devin Booker out of it. But everything we've been saying about KD.
No,
Devin Booker gotta take that shot too.
I'm gonna leave the boy out of it. His mama could put him in there. But I'm just right now. I'm talking about Kevin Durant.
I don't like any guy that complains about getting double teamed in open run. The fact that you're crying about it, I'm sorry. Like Devin Booker, to me, I have a lifetime ban on Devin Booker saying Mamba mentality, because if you cry about getting double teamed in open run, you ain't got no Mamba in your mentality.
Exactly.
You got earthworm mentality.
And here's what's crazy.
And I'm shaking my fist at the no. Devin Booker, I've lost all respect for him.
But here's what's crazy. They asked Kobe about that and was like, what if they double team your open run? He's like, I'm gonna keep shooting. Tell them send them more.
Send me all five. I don't care.
I'm still going to shoot. I'm still going to score.
Y'all got y'all Devin Booker off y'all chest? Y'all got off y'all chest?
He got to take that L too.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Hold on. From the guy that will talk bad about Bradley Beal in front of his mama while sitting in the cafe.
You ain't even heard what I'm about to say.
Bradley Beal tequila. No, you can't be mad at us for talking about Devin Booker.
Well, let me drop this gem on you. Like I said, Kevin Durant, for me, his legacy was already tarnished. And then you got this Brooklyn thing and you got this Phoenix thing now. I think we all agreed that he had to prove that he can win something by himself. That he can, like Charles Barkley said, can you drive the bus or are you just going to ride on it? And he's proven that he's just a rider. No Diddy, right? I'm going to say this about Bradley Beal. I'm going to take it a step down. I'm going to go to the bottom of the shelf.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm about to take us off the rails, but I'm sorry. Because I feel like when you talked about that segment about Kevin Durant, I see TD Jakes all across the stage talking about, have you been swallowed?
Oh, my goodness. This will happen when the show go over an hour. This is what happens.
My bad. I'm sorry. Yeah. All right, back to the script. And hold on. And scene. Let's go.
I'm gonna take. This ain't $2 liquor. This is 99-cent liquor. I'm to a point now where Bradley Beal shouldn't be starting in the league. He should be coming off the bench. I think that Washington inflated his value. Here's one thing that I learned about Bradley Beal. That when he was with John, he never took the team from John. You can't be that guy if you never take the team. Because at some point, it has to be your team if you're that guy. Mm. Here's the other thing that soured me about Beal. When Russ came, it became Russ's team. That just tells you all you need to know. And I sent this message to the guys, and I'll tell everybody on air. There's a point when Russ comes to town and he's watching the practice and he stops the practice and he gets on everybody, gets on the rest of the Wizards players because they're not passing Bradley Beal the ball. Anybody that's played ball, when you're playing with a dog, they get the ball. If you play organized ball, the star gets the ball. So that should tell you what the other Wizards players thought about Beal, that he wasn't getting the ball. I think they knew he doesn't have that dog. I think they knew it. You can see it. And I'll say this also. If you go back and look at the presser where he's at the Suns conference, the press conference, I think he's more disappointed that he's somewhere now that he has to have expectations and he just can't loaf around Washington putting up 20, 30 shots looking like, you know, all, and everybody saying, oh, it's not Brad's fault. It's the team. I think he was more disappointed where, like, man, I really got to come in here and try to play now. And we're seeing that. And Thanos agreed with me. When the meat hits the pan, no Diddy. You can tell it's bad. You can smell it. You pull that bacon out, you about to make you a nice big breakfast, and you put that bacon in the pan, you be like, man, what's that smell? That's Bradley Beal. I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
Three legacies flushed down the toilet damn near. Especially Durant and Beal. I think Beal had a lot to prove for me. He had a lot to prove to people in Washington that he was that guy. He was supposed to be that guy. I never considered, when they added Bradley Beal, I never considered this team a big three. They had two superstars and a guy.
Okay. You know, I hate that term big three because whenever you put three players together and they're moderately successful, oh, this is the big three. This is the Boston big three. This is the Washington big three. I'm starting to hate it now. Even though that's a term that I've used for so long, I'm starting to hate it because now when you put three guys together, it's automatically a big three, but you don't know if they're going to gel or not. You kind of sort of had that here. What did you have? Yeah, Porzingis. Beal, Porzingis, and what's the boy, the Kuzma? And then I asked questions like, is this going to be a big three? Is this going to be successful? They couldn't gel.
Didn't I call that the EBT three?
You did.
Yes, you coined that. That was the EBT three.
Okay.
And speaking of Charles Barkley, he said something about the Pelicans. He said, man, they don't deserve, he said, they're going to Cancun. They don't deserve to go to Cancun. They can go to Galveston, Texas, swimming in that dirty water. I loved it. When he said that, I stood up. I applauded. You do all that work to get there. Is Zion even playing or is he still out?
He's out. He pulled his hamstring.
See, this is the older person in me. When you come to the second season, it don't matter if your arm's falling off and hanging out of the socket. Your hand can be bent like this on your right hand, which you shoot with. You better learn how to shoot with your left. This is when your team needs you the most as the star. I don't give a damn if you pulled your hamstring. You stretch that thing out, you wrap it up, you get out there and you play. You may average 25, but damn it, if you can give them 20, that's 20 more than they had with you not being on the floor. This soft-hearted bullshit got to stop, man. It has to stop. Sometimes you got to put the team over yourself. I'm sorry, you got to put the team over yourself. I'm right. Sometimes you have to do that. This is bull, man. Oh, my hamstring hurt. Oh, my ankles hurt. My knee hurt. My shoulder hurt. Oh, my stussy hurt. Whatever. Stop it, man. You.
I see green, blue.
What hurt, big guy?
I threw that in there because you. That's an inside joke.
Hey, man, I don't know about your stussy, but if you stussy. All right, can't go.
Maddie Ice said one of the craziest things about hockey is the stories of what guys played through in the playoffs, including broken wrists, facial bones, etc. Exactly.
Did anybody in hockey play through a stussy?
That hurt. You gotta sit down.
I don't know if you can go without a stussy.
Here's the thing.
Real quick question. If somebody heard this stussy, like let's say Caitlyn Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner heard a stussy, would she be able to play?
Wait. I said I'm checking WebMD real quick. You know what? Oh,
I think
my God.
That point. I think we got to wrap this shit up, B. What the hell was that, dog?
As the people's choice, Don Rodriguez, he comes up with these things, but
oh my God. I was sitting there, I was like, oh shit, that shit got taken over.
Oh man.
Real quick before we leave, what you guys eating today?
I think we're doing tacos. And tonight I'll probably finish off with burgers for dinner.
Handmade burgers?
I don't know yet. I don't know how dedicated to my craft I'm gonna be today.
Okay, now tacos, what you using? Using turkey meat or?
I'll eat some ground beef.
Okay, you got raw all the things. You got sour cream and all that?
Well, he's not a big sour cream guy, so it's like what is it? The Mexican mix cheese, raw onions. I don't know what else we throwing in there. We might still have some lettuce. We might chop up some lettuce to go in that, but yeah, you know, kind of figure it out. Because at times my kitchen becomes like an episode of Chop. Like we got some of the things for the item for the dish, but not everything. So we gotta make it work.
Oh well, hold on. I was coming to your house. I'm going to Maddie Ice's house. Hot dogs on the grill deep fry some fries. I'm going to Maddie Ice's house. Like that
you
know sounds what? Good.
It's funny you even said that. Because all week I've thought about doing like, because we do have shredded cheese. I was thinking about doing like deep frying some fries, put them in a basket, put like the shredded cheese over them and crumble up some bacon and then throw it in the microwave for like 30 seconds and let that all come together. I do have that thought. I don't know if I have the energy for it.
Oh. Before we get to you, Boss BJ, MDOT over on Instagram had a couple of comments, said, boo, go Nuggets. And we can't say we want old school playoff basketball, but when we see it, dislike it. Orlando Magic deserves some credit. And I think that was the series that I would go with. That Cavs Magic series is the best series on TV right now that I'll go with.
Okay.
And Boss BJ, what you eating?
I'll probably have a couple bananas, some Halos, might indulge in an apple. I don't really eat much during the day. I can eat it where, like yesterday I had a quesadilla in sections throughout the day.
That's hot sauce on my burrito, baby.
So I'm not, you know, I've conditioned myself not to eat a lot. Now I could go, this will be actually the last Sunday I could go to the taco spot. I could, but I don't think I will. So I'm probably going to make me some runny eggs with some Tabasco when we get off the air. And then that'll be my breakfast. And that probably will hold me off for the rest of the day. I'll probably go get an iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts loaded with all types of sugar. That'll be my treat for the day. Because, Dunkin' Donuts don't stir shit up. So that first sip is just sugar, syrup, cream, whatever they put at the bottom of the thing. That's what you... That you get a clump of everything. if I get shot. So
you drive. So yeah, I would steer away from food during the day.
But sometimes I need it.
Like, you just gotta, like, yeah, your job. I feel like I would layer my underwear with toilet tissue just in case I fart and I push too much and it's not a fart, it's a shart.
But see,
you gotta be careful when you eat.
I got everything,
and you're in a vehicle the whole time. Yeah, you can't just eat anything. Yeah,
but see, I got everything planned out for an emergency. I know where I need to pull over if something happens. I got it planned out. And it's one of the reasons why I don't eat a lot. Because then if you do, you had an itis while driving, or you got that full miserable feeling while driving.
Right.
So I try to balance it out. But now I have my emergency load. Like, look, that thing is going to get pulled over and shut off.
Right.
I'm gonna get a stone cold leaving the bus. I'm gone.
Like, I used to, when I was on the road a lot and I would eat at certain places, I would go to different hotels. I just walk in, ask where the conference room is. And we ask where the conference room is, they'll point you. And I was like, all right, is there a bathroom nearby? They point you to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom. That way I don't do gas station bathrooms. I'm telling you right now, that is the hustle. If you don't know,
I'd rather go to a portable.
You ask them where the conference rooms are, and then you stop and be like, and they'll point you to the bathroom, and that bathroom is way cleaner than any gas station bathroom you could ever go into.
Porta potty over gas station bathroom, anytime.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. Thank you. I went to, where was that at? It was way out there. That wasn't Oakland. It was some, I did a job way out there, and it was a gas station bathroom. I'm like, oh my god, I'm not trying to go in here. I get the key and I open the joint. It's like the Taj Mahal. It's clean, it's well lit, it smells great, it's got all these ornaments on the wall, and it's like, damn, okay. I'll be nice to cop a squad here. All right,
dog. I had a bad night. I had a bad night and went to pick up Josh and had to go to the Exxon and Owens Mills. And when I went in the bathroom, it was not a Taj Mahal at all. It was like, I got like four layers of toilet tissue on the seat because I don't know what's about to happen. And I had to do it quickly because whatever was going on in my stomach, it wasn't like, oh, wait and take your time. Mm-mm. It was like, get us free. I'm the captain now. It was all of that stuff. So, yeah, dog. Sheets is a good place, too. Yeah.
I read Maddie's comment. Only acceptable gas station bathrooms are Loves. They keep their shit clean, literally. And Sheets.
Yes.
Sheets keep their stuff clean,
too.
Like, Sheets does?
Yeah. Sheets, if you can order your sandwich, and they'll put fries on your sandwich.
I ain't been to Sheets in a while.
It got to be better than that shit from Wawa. It got to be.
Wawa too, man.
Whoa, I love Wawa. Wawa in the morning get you a sizzly. Oh, my God. Baltimore.
Ooh. The last time I had Wawa, I got when they were, this was last summer. No, summer before last, actually. They had some barbecue sandwiches. And I bit into it immediately. I said, this came out of a can that was forgotten about somewhere in the bottom of somebody's basement that was warm, that got cold, that got warm again, the can expanded, the can shrunk. That's what it tasted like.
We got tickets. B, hold on, you gotta know where you are. You can't eat. Why are you ordering barbecue from Wawa? Like, certain things you just can't do. I'm sorry. You can't order barbecue from Wawa.
That's
sometimes you get surprised, and
I'll
indulge if I can get surprised. I know it could be the flip side where it's just horrible. But right. I took a bite out of that sandwich, and I took another bite, and I said, "Yeah, I want." I had to stop at the when you're coming down 95, the rest stop with the Wendy's and all that stuff in the middle. Yep. I had to stop there and get some food. I can't eat this.
Oh, but you're sometimes talking about Murder House.
Yeah. sometimes you get surprised. You go to these places and you're like, man, this is actually pretty good. So, and I think that's what I was hoping for.
So there's a spot in off of, I don't even know what the road is in Clinton, but it's not in Clinton. Like, you go past Clinton in the Brandywine, and you make like this right turn down this road where it's nothing but fields. And at the end of the road, we used to call it the Little Old Ladies. But you go there, and I think back in that time, I could take $5 in there and get like a 5-piece chicken basket with fries. And again, like you said, it's just one of those spots that you're so surprised, but when you get there and you get the food and you taste it, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple little gas stations I've gone to, and they like have food, and I used to be like, oh, I'm anti-gas station food, but after I ate, I was like, all right, yeah.
Well, that's how me and my wife found the rib spot. It's we driving down the road, we see the sign, then it's a little brick building outside of the lodge, and you like, well, what is that? But damn, it smells great. You go there and you like, oh my God. So don't worry. We going. I think the Midnight Rider said he need what? You said end of May?
No, I need June.
He needs June.
Yeah, because we got prom on May 10th. Just to put it on your schedule, fellas. And we got graduation the 30th. And I don't think I can do graduation because I think we got limited number of tickets.
You got to do graduation.
No, I'm talking about I can't invite everybody to graduation.
Oh, no. That's all right. Because you know we do. We hit the flash flood. We flash 3 tickets and we flood 6 people in. We know how to get in. You go in through the back door. Or you get somebody to stand around the table where they put the tickets at.
No Diddy.
Whoa. All right. Yeah, we need to hop off the air. It's getting raunchy on this thing.
You get somebody stand by the tickets where they lay the tickets on the table. You just look around, you know, you grab a couple tickets, start passing them. All right, go in, go to them there. Hey, we know how to get in the graduations, baby. It's all good.
Yeah, we good, dog. I'm trying to keep cause his mom already thinks that stuff is gonna happen with me anyway. So yeah, no.
Mm-mm. Oh, but you, one thing you're gonna do, you're gonna break down and cry.
Oh, I know. I already know.
You're gonna break down and cry. I mean, then you got to work out his when he crossed the stage. You got to work it out. What you gonna do now? See, my plan when I cross the stage. Now, mind, this is 99. It was supposed to be my cousin up in the balcony yelling, "Are you ready?" Hold chops and everything to everybody on the stage, but you know, I wouldn't have got my diploma if I would have did that.
Right.
So yeah, you can't do that. So
yeah.
But anyway, let's get on about here, fellas. Because I'm causing a disturbance, but
I thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, we did. Thank you for joining us for Draft Talk, Best Fits, Paradigm Shift in the NBA while we're talking about the playoffs, best bathrooms at gas stations to use the bathroom in. We do it all here. So until next time, that's the Boss BJ. That's the Midnight Rider. We did some overtime today, baby, but we are out of here.
Let's go.